I invite you to join me this morning in the 71st Psalm. Here's a psalm for people over 70. Psalm 71, reading beginning in the 6th verse. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thine honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now notice verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. This psalm is a prayer. It's a prayer of David in the twilight years of his life. And since it's the 71st division of the Psalms, I call it a psalm for people over 70. Psalm 90, verse 10, tells us the average span of life is 70 years. The days of man are 70. A score is 20. 70 is 3 times 20. They're 60. And then 10 more, that's 70. So the average lifespan, as a rule, is 70. And he says, and if by reason of strength they be 80, if a person lives to 80, he says, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. That is, the last 10 years are very challenging and difficult. He says, but it is soon cut off and we fly away. I like that song that we sing sometimes, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Well, that's biblical. For life is soon cut off and we fly away. The days of man, therefore, are by rule, as an average, about 70, 80 years. And that seems to be pretty common across the board. But of course, as we reach that point, and it comes more quickly than we thought it would when we were kids, doesn't it? I mean, I'm getting close right now. And as we reach that point, it doesn't seem quite as old as it once did. I don't think it is. I don't think 70, 80, or more is as old as it was a few years ago. 70 is probably the new 40. With modern medicine and good diet and the ability to prolong life, but yet we are all passing away here this morning, self-included, right? We're getting close. And every day we spend is one day closer to the end of our journey. Somebody says, Brother Mike, this is pretty morbid, but it's realistic. And we need to focus on what the Bible has to tell us in the geriatric period of our lives, and it will come more quickly than some of you young folks think that it will. Just blink, sleep a couple of times, turn around twice, and before you know it, you'll say, where have the years gone? Life is brief and uncertain at best. I was at a taco fast food restaurant a couple of months ago, and as I was checking out, the clerk rang up, without even asking me, a senior citizen's discount. And of course, it kind of surprised me, and I wanted to say something, and I thought, no, I got a discount, so I'm going to let that slide this time. A senior citizen's discount. She just rang it up without even asking. A couple of days later, I was at a grocery store, and as I was checking out, I was fumbling through my wallet to try to find my debit card, and the clerk said, are you looking for your senior citizen's discount card? And I said, I am not believing this. That's twice in just a matter of a couple of days. And I went forward to tell her the story of the lady that gave me the senior citizen's discount. And I said, you know, I still have at least 10, maybe 15 years before I'm a senior citizen. And she said, how old are you? And I told her I was 54. And she said, well, you know, according to AARP, you're a senior citizen when you reach 50. I said, well, that explains why I've been receiving mail from them for about 4 or 5 years now. But it was a rude awakening to me as these folks considered me to be, you know, over the hill. The late Presbyterian pastor James Montgomery Boyce said it's not fun to be old, especially in America. Most of us would probably agree with that, wouldn't we? It's not fun to be old, especially in America, he said. He writes, in other cultures, old age had advantages that offset the disadvantages. Elderly persons were honored and respected. Their wisdom was valued. He said, this is no longer true in America or in the West, generally speaking. He said, here we value youth. And the culture is so oriented to youthful interests that many older people even try to dress and act like teenagers. He's correct. It's not fun to grow old. The old saying is, getting old is not for sissies. It probably many of us this morning say amen. They call it the metallic age. When there's silver in my hair and gold in my teeth and iron in my vitamins and lead in my feet. The metallic age. What are some of the difficulties of mature years? I think first we could say these are years of increasing weakness and loss of ability. Look at the 9th verse of our psalm. Cast me not off in the time of old age, praise David. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Of course, as we get older, our physical strength wanes. Our eyesight fails. We can't see like we once could. Have to continue to go to the eye doctor and get stronger and stronger prescriptions. Our hearing fails. Our joints are not as flexible and elastic as they once were. Just the physical strength that we once had, it doesn't last as long. If it's still there, if we're still somewhat robust, still we get tired more quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about that when he says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, while the years draw not nigh. In other words, as you get older, evil days are coming. He doesn't mean sinful necessarily. He means days of suffering, days of difficulty. It is a challenge to keep going as you get older, as you reach 70. And he says, if you'll start serving God when you're young, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, then it'll be much more rewarding to you. You'll have an entire lifetime to follow him. But he said, in the last days, what'll happen is those that look out the windows shall be darkened. Now notice the imagery, the metaphorical language that he's using. He's talking about your eyesight. Those that look out of the windows, he's speaking of our vision. He says, they'll be darkened. You won't be able to see like you once could. He says, the sound of the grinding will be low. He's talking about the hearing. He says, you will rise up at the sound of the bird. You'll wake up early. And he says, the grasshopper will be a burden. The fact that these insects are in the garden will be more disconcerting to you or to me than what is happening in China or in North Korea or on the world scene. And he says that the keepers of the house will tremble. He's talking about our hands and our feet and our limbs, we will get the shakes as we get older. And that's just the ordinary course of life. One of the difficulties of growing older, my friends, is the loss of ability that we once had that we no longer have. And how many elderly people that are having trouble getting around have told me through the years, Brother Goins, I can't believe I can't drive anymore. I can't walk without help anymore. These are years of growing weakness, physically speaking. They're also years of growing dependence on others. John chapter 21, verse number 18, Jesus tells Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. That is, you did what you wanted to do. You were able to dress yourself, take care of yourself, go where you wanted to go when you were young. But he says, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands and another shall gird thee. You'll need somebody to help you dress and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. No, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to go to the rest home. I don't want to do this or that, but others make decisions for us. He says that's one of the difficulties of growing older. These are years of growing dependence on other people. They're also years of increasing loneliness as you get older. What happens is there are fewer people around to help you now to shoulder life's burdens than there once were. I've heard it said that as I get older, I attend more funerals, and I get to the point that I have more friends on the other side than I do on this one, and that is just the ordinary course of events, is it not? I have a cartoon in my files at home somewhere that I cut out of a magazine one time that showed two elderly women rocking on the front porch and crocheting or knitting. And one of them was saying to the other, "I'm so old that all of my friends that have gone on are going to think I didn't make it and that I went to the other place. I've outlived them for so long." And of course, that's what happens as you get older, is these are years of increasing loneliness. How many people in the nursing homes say that my kids have their own lives, they're so busy? And of course, we understand that, but at the same time, it doesn't make it any easier. So your body's breaking down and you're more dependent on others, and they're making decisions that affect your life, and there are fewer people around that you would call friend or loved one to spend time with. And there are also years of continued pressures and burdens. Although our strength and capacities to handle them is diminished, the burdens themselves are relentless. They never let up. Retirement does not automatically solve the problems that we've dealt with all throughout our lives, does it? In David's case, he had enemies. You know, throughout his life, David had many enemies. And of course, as a king, you would expect that. I think of our president today and all of the criticism and the people that want to undermine and want to, you know, analyze his job performance. And I think of all of the venom and the animosity that's out there toward a person in a position of leadership. And we can understand how David had his enemies through the years. Listen to Psalm 71, our text. Look at verse 4. He says, "Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." Now here's an older gentleman, but he's still praying for deliverance from those who are cruel and wicked and unrighteous. Verse 10, listen now. "For mine enemies speak against me." And of course, you would think that somebody as strong and resilient as David would not be affected by criticism and persecution and rumors, but yet it had a barb. He says, "Mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay in wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me," he prays. "O God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul." Now, David is not speaking in the language of what we might call animosity. He's just saying, "Lord, it's unjust that they are after me," and he's taking his cares to the Lord in prayer, asking for God to help him. But the point that I make is David's enemies didn't quit troubling him in his latter days. Now, probably in this particular psalm, he's referring to Absalom, his own son's rebellion. You may remember in his latter days as the king, Absalom took over the throne for a little while, and David had to live a life on the run again. And probably that's the situation under consideration when he prays that God would stand to his defense against his enemies. But you see, your case may be different than David's. Maybe your case as you get older is family trouble. You've had it throughout your life, and you say, "You would think I would be exempt from having to deal with this still at this late date in my personal history," but yet, dear friends, those troubles don't automatically go away just because you've gotten older. Maybe in your case, the problem is psychological struggles. You say, "I've lived with depression, with bouts of despair and depression and just mood swings my whole life, and you would think when I get older I wouldn't have to deal with that, but yet it's still an issue that I struggle with." Maybe it's a physical handicap. Just because you've reached 70, 70 doesn't mean that your debilitation, your physical handicap is gone. You still have to deal with it. Or maybe it's a financial worry. I know many elderly people who have financial worries. And you say, it seems like my whole life I've had to scrap just to make ends meet. And you would think, now that I'm retired, I would have plenty to just sort of relax, but yet I'm still worried about how my bills are going to be paid. These problems do not just go away as a person ages. Now, we've talked some about the difficulties and the challenges of growing older. And of course, with all of these various challenges and difficulties, the temptation for an older person to just sit down and give up is very strong. I'm tired, Brother Mike. I've heard that so many times. I'm sure Thomas Alva Edison was tired. He was tired of his many failures in his experiments, and probably tired as well of the naysayers. You know, Thomas Edison failed over 14,000 times to invent the incandescent light bulb. He was trying to find a filament for it, and 14,000 experiments came to naught. And when he finally did invent the light bulb, and his light bulb went on exhibition in Paris, one of the Paris newspapers reported, "When the exhibition closes, we will hear no more about the electric light bulb." I'm sure Mr. Edison was tired of all the naysayers, don't you reckon? It's been said Satan is a master of discouragement, and he has a lot of folks working for him. You say, "Brother Goins, I'm so tired." But you see, Edison kept going. 13,999 things that wouldn't work. On the 14,000th time, he finally found a filament that would work. And not only did it work, but the light bulb has become a staple of society, has it not? Edison kept going. And I'll tell you, that's really the challenge facing the Christian senior, to keep going. As you get older, dear friends, the challenge is great. You say, "I'm so tired, I just want to sit down and quit and give up." No, you've got to keep going. You've got to persevere. You have to finish strong. Life in the Bible is compared to a race. Paul said, "I have finished my course." He says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." My beloved, in a race, you know, when you get to the home stretch, you don't want to give up with just a little bit further to go. You want to finish strong. You want to finish strong. I've told you the story about my seventh grade track meet whenever I was entered into the 120-yard intermediate hurdles. I was a seventh grader, and I, of course, was very short. I don't know why my coach entered me into that, except I was a little bit fleet of foot, and he thought that I might be able to compete. But after about three or four hurdles, I hit one and finally fell flat on my face. I'll never forget watching Coach Alford, who was about 6'6" tall and 280 pounds, running at breakneck speed across the infield toward me as I'd fallen on the track and then walked off the track. I had cinders in my forehead and in my elbows and on my knees, and was blood running down, and I was cold and, you know, just a little scrawny thing, and you know, I was dejected because I had failed. And Coach Alford comes running at me, and I thought, bless his heart, he's coming to comfort me. I'll tell you, comfort was the last thing on Coach Alford's mind. He got right in my face and he said, "Goins, let me tell you, don't you ever quit. Don't you ever walk off the track without finishing the race. Even if it's 2 weeks later and they've all finished, you finish what you started." I'll never forget the lesson that he taught me there. It's important not only to start well in life and to flourish while you're young, but it's important to finish strong, my friends. And may I say that that's the challenge facing us. On the home stretch of life, not to give up. Now, Edison kept going, and so did David in our text. He refused to give up or quit. Look at verse 18. "Now, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. David says, Lord, I still have something to do. And until my work is done, I pray that you would continue to bless me. Oh God, forsake me not, even though I'm old and gray-headed. Notice the word continually in this psalm. It's mentioned several times. Verse 3, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. David wanted to resort to God in prayer continually. Look at also verse 6. By thee I've been holding up from the womb. Lord, you've taken care of me since I was in my mother's womb, since I was an infant. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. Lord, you gave me life and you brought me into this world and you've taken care of me all through the years. Watch this. My praise shall be continually. In this word continually, my friends, I see David's refusal to give up. Verse 14, but I will hope continually. I'm not going to quit hoping. I'm going to keep hoping. This kind of tenacity and perseverance and stick-to-itiveness, my beloved, is what we would call one of the masculine virtues that are so rare in this soft and increasingly effeminate age in which we live. But oh, it's so crucial to keep on keeping on, not to give up, not to quit. I like the old fellow that said, I'll bite the devil till my teeth fall out, and then I'll gum him to death for the rest of my life. That's the kind of stick-to-itiveness that we need, isn't it? That's the kind of iron in our backbone and in our blood. Look at the I wills in this psalm. Several times the psalmist says, I will, which is the language of resolve. Again, verse 14, I will hope continually. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness. Verse 22, I will praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp. Lord, I will, I will, I will. He refuses to give up. He's resolved to go forward. In fact, David's life and attitude, my beloved, even as a senior citizen in Psalm 71, was so different than what we typically encounter from folks as they grow older, that David stood out from the crowd. I want you to look at verse 7 in this psalm. I am a wonder unto many. David says, people look at me and they are surprised. That word wonder means I'm a spectacle. I'm a curiosity. And most of the time, when we see an elderly person, we say, well, this elderly person is just like another and just like another. They're beaten down, they're worn out, they're tired, they're fatigued. David says, when people look at me, they are puzzled. They wonder. I'm a mystery to them. I'm the subject of amazement. I think David's attitude was like Linus's attitude when Charlie Brown lamented to him one day and said, one day, Linus, we are going to die. And Linus responded and said, yes, but on all the other days, we won't. You see, David had this idea, I've got to keep living. And what was his secret as he grew older? And how may you and I this morning, my beloved, as we reach the twilight years of our lives, keep going as well? David's perspective toward his own life, as reflected in Psalm 71, I believe has much to teach us this morning. And I want to give you several important things that David kept doing. First of all, he kept trusting in the Lord. He kept going because he kept trusting in the Lord. Verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That's how the psalm begins. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now, that word Lord is written in all caps in my Bible. That's a signal that the translators have translated the name Jehovah, which speaks of his relationship, his special relationship to his covenant people. It's the transliteration of the expression in Exodus 3, I am that I am. David says, in thee, the great I am, I put my trust. Did you know your faith is only as strong as its object? And in your God, you have a worthy object to put your trust. You can trust God. It's not like saying, I believe in the human spirit. That's not a worthy object of your trust. You say, well, I believe in miracles. No, my beloved, I believe in God. You know, when Paul said in Acts 27, as the ship was about to be shipwrecked, he told the people, "But sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." He didn't just say, "I believe that things are going to get better." He didn't just offer some empty platitude and say, "Just I feel good vibes." No, my friends, he believed in God. He trusted Jehovah, the great I am, the God who created it all, the God with whom nothing is impossible. David says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." Look at verse 7. "I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge." People look at me and they're curious. How does he keep going? You know, I've known a few elderly folks in my life that were just different than what you would expect. Instead of being cynical and sour, they were joyful and happy. And it wasn't put on. You know, you can only put that on for so long before the real comes out. It wasn't some cosmetic issue. It was something, my friends, that was essential, that came from the essence of their being. I've known a few folks that were sweet-spirited and faithful, and they just kept on. I think of some of the folks that attend our church here who can just barely get around. And yet, if they're able to be here, you can rest assured they'll be here. What an example they are to me. And how they encourage me, dear friends. And there's not a word of complaint. Now, I'm not with them 24/7. I know they're sinners like the rest of us, and they have their moments like the rest of us. But as a rule, just the demeanor and the attitude that they exhibit is just such an encouragement to me. And I'll tell you, those folks are the exception rather than the rule. They are rare in this kind of environment like we're living in today. You say, well, they've got so much against them. The world has basically run off and left them, and their kids are grown and gone, and they can't get employment anymore, and their resources are limited, and their opportunities are restricted. And how can they be so happy? Because their focus is not on circumstances or on themselves, but it's on the Lord. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." May I say, here is one advantage that an aging Christian has that younger folks don't. You say, "I don't have what these younger folks do. I can't run, jump, and I'm not vigorous and vibrant." I'll tell you, you have something if you're an elderly Christian that younger people don't, and that's the advantage of a lifetime of experience regarding the faithfulness of God. You have a whole lifetime of experience, not just theoretic, not just theory. It's not just something abstract and vague and nebulous, but it's something that you've lived, that you've proven in your own experience. You've been on death's bed and thought that the end was near, and yet God heard your prayer. You've seen crises and trials and thought that you'd never get through them, but yet God's brought you through. You see, an elderly person has an experimental knowledge that God is faithful. What a wealth of knowledge that is, that you've gained by experience. I think of Psalm 37:25, when David says, "I have been young and now I am old." And what is your conclusion, David? That nothing works out, and is he cynical? Is he sour? No, he says, "I have been young, but now I'm old." And he says, "Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Here's a man who's giving us the voice of experience, saying, "In my years, I've seen that God takes care of his people. And I'm here to testify to it. I'm here to tell you about it." My friends, that carries a lot of weight with me when somebody who's lived it, not just studied it in a book, but they've lived it, can tell you that the Lord takes care of his little children. And my life is a living testimony to that. You say, well, how is it a living testimony? Probably each one of you who have reached a certain point in your life could tell story after story after story how the Lord has picked you up, carried you through, provided your needs, helped you to keep going. Couldn't you, dear friends? And may I say, that's wonderful to hear the brethren and the sisters of the church when they start giving testimonies. Every once in a while, somebody will say, "Preacher, I just want to say something." Well, I'll tell you, we're not so formal here that we don't have time for somebody to give a testimony of praise and honor to the Lord. If you want to tell what the Lord's done for you, then I'm glad to listen and to rejoice with those that rejoice and to be happy how the Lord has answered somebody's prayer. You see, David looks back over his long life in Psalm 71, and he reflects on how the Lord's taken care of him. Listen to verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Here's somebody that, even from his youngest days, he says, Lord, I've been trusting in you. The next verse says, by thee I've been holden up from the womb. I've been held up, Lord. From the moment I was born, I've been held up by you. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Oh, indeed, my beloved, here's a man that said, Lord, in verse 17, thou hast taught me from my youth. And hitherto, up until now, I've declared thy wondrous works. So, Lord, I've been talking about how good you are, how faithful you are, how powerful, omnipotent, how loving and kind and gracious. What a wonderful thing it is to have a prayer-hearing God. Oh, Lord, I'm going to keep trusting in you. This past experience gives him hope for the future. Listen, will you, to verse 14 again, but I will hope continually. Why will you keep hoping, David? Because God's been good to me thus far. He's been my help in ages past. Now he's my hope for years to come. We sang that hymn by Isaac Watts just a few moments ago. Oh, God, my help in ages past. My hope, my help, my hope, my help in the past, my hope for years to come. May I say this morning, through all the vicissitudes of my life, in the meandering scenes of the past, the twists and the turns, the ups and the downs, the hilltops and the valleys of my life, the Lord has been the same. He's been there. He's been faithful. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. The God who has been my help in ages past is my hope for years to come. You say, Brother Goins, what will happen tomorrow? What will happen next week, next year? None of us knows. But I'll tell you, we do know this, that the God who's been our help in the past has promised to be with us all the way to the very end. So David draws from his past experience. Listen to verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. He's praying. God, you've allowed me to see many troubles in my life, but yet thou shalt quicken me again. That word quicken means to revive. You think it's possible for you to have good days still, or all of your good days behind you? Perhaps you're here this morning saying, Brother Goins, all of my best days are behind me. I don't think there's anything to look forward to now but labor and sorrow. Well, it will be hard from here on out, but I'll tell you, God can quicken you again. In fact, did you know that whether your body is quickened or not, though our outward man is perishing, he can quicken the inward man. The inward man is renewed. What does that word renewed mean? Made new again. Renewed day by day. The healthiest person is not the person who is physically fit, but the person who is spiritually in tune and in touch with the Lord. Though our outward man is perishing, and I'll tell you, you can rub vitamin E and aloe and Mary Kay and Estee Lauder and all of these other ointments on you to, you know, remove the wrinkles, and you can have Botox and you can have all of the different treatments. But I'll tell you, dear friends, the outward man is perishing. This body's breaking down. There's not a one of us that's not true about. This body's breaking down. You say, I just wish it wouldn't do that. Well, take it up with Adam. He's the one that got us in this trouble. He's the one that sinned and began this process of decay and entropy and the downward slope toward death. So the outward man's perishing, but you know the inward man can be as young as a little child. Can be renewed day by day. And I love to see people that though their bodies are breaking down, their hearts are light, their spirits are sweet, their minds are focused on the Lord, their countenance radiates with the presence of God in their lives. Now, that's not something you can manufacture again. and say, oh, I hope people think I'm just really spiritual. But it's something that if it's real, it's going to come forth and you won't be able to hide it. Like Moses, when they had to put a veil on his face because the brilliance of being in the presence of God was so great. I love that song we sing sometimes that says, take time to be holy. One of the verses says, spend much time in secret. For by spending time with the Lord in secret, he says, like him thou shalt be. The longer we're in the presence of God and we come forth, the more there will be this blessed unconsciousness. Like Moses, he wist not that his face did shine. And oh, what a blessing that will be in the lives of others when that is the case. Now, David kept trusting. He kept his eye on the Lord. And secondly, here's one way that he kept going and refused to quit, because he kept praying and spending time in fellowship with the Lord. Psalm 71, verse 3. Be thou, he prays, my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Now, what's a resort? The word resort as a noun is a place that you go to, that you find asylum, you find refuge. Somebody goes to a resort for vacation. As a verb in this text, whereunto I may resort means I may go and find refuge. He says, Lord, would you be my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort? David spent time praying. He resorted frequently or continually to the closet of prayer to find refuge in his God. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. I want to say, dear friends, if you want to keep going, you've got to keep praying. How do you pray? Just talk to the Lord, whatever's on your heart. It doesn't have to be formal. You pray in private. You don't have to pray like you would in public. Say, okay, let me see. I'm going to offer a prayer. I'm going to touch all the... You just unburden your heart. Talk to him respectfully. You come to him, my friends, and worship him in prayer. It's very important that you spend time adoring him and thanking him for what he's already done, reflecting on who he is and what he's accomplished. And then he says, talk to him about your fears. Talk to him about your concerns. Talk to him about your problems. Talk to him about your aches and pains. Talk to him about your children, your grandchildren. David kept spending time in fellowship with the Lord. He continually resorted to God by means of prayer as his strong habitation. What did he pray for? Verse 2, deliver me. Verse 4, deliver me. He asked God's deliverance. He's not praying for eternal deliverance here. He's praying for what we would call time salvation. Deliverance from the pressures of life, from the burdens of life, from his enemies. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Here's David leaving his throne while Absalom has revolted and taken over the throne. And David is in his latter years. And he might have thought, I'm old enough where I shouldn't have to go through this again. I've spent 10 years on the run when King Saul was after me as a youth. Now I'm an old king and my son has tried to take over the throne. And David might have thought, I shouldn't have to keep going through things like this. But the difficulties of growing old do not cease just because we've gotten older. But he does know where to go in his problems. He says, Lord, would you deliver me? And then he prays, help me. Verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Help me. You say, I don't know what to say in my prayers. Then just say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. Can you say that? Send an SOS signal to heaven. Lord, help me. I need help. And he prays, Lord, forsake me not, in our text. Verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. The rest of the world's throwing me aside. Lord, I pray that you wouldn't cast me off. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Verse 18, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. So Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. Lord, forsake me not. That's what he prayed. He kept trusting. He kept praying. He kept praising. Here's how David handled the twilight years of his life. He kept praising. Verse 6 of Psalm 71, by thee I've been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. He's not interested in praising man, honoring man, talking about man's achievements. He says, I want to praise God and worship him all day long. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Lord, I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm going to sing praises to you. May I say, seniors still have a place in our modern world. You say, where is that, Brother Mike? They don't want me in the corporate world. They won't hire me. I'm too old. They'll hire me maybe at Walmart if the guy that's the greeter there now quits his job. Maybe I've got a chance, but they won't hire me anywhere. Where do I have a place? My kids are too busy for me. Where do I have a place? I'll tell you where you have a place, dear friends, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know this is one institution where we have a place for the older folks as well as for the young folks? The world's been taken over by young people. Now, I love young people. I used to be one. And you young people that are young today, you're not going to be young forever. But you know, my beloved, we have a place for the youth. We also have a place for the middle-aged. We have a place for the older folks in the church. I love Psalm 92, verse 12. Would you listen to this? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. I love it. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Where are you planted? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. What a beautiful scene is there to show that here in the church is a place where even senior citizens can live productively. You know, one thing you can do if you're an older person, you can still worship. That's why you were made. That's what God put us here for, is to glorify him. And the more you praise, the better antidote you will have toward the tendency to cynicism. Praise counteracts that common tendency to grow pessimistic and cynical as we get older. One of the greatest challenges I face as I get older is just this tendency to say nothing ever works out. And just this, you know, it's so easy to grow cynical. And the more I praise and think about the Lord and reflect on the many ways he's blessed me and thankfully count my blessings and worship him for that, my friends, the better I'm able to deal with that tendency toward pessimism. David kept trusting, kept praying, kept praising, kept going to church, and he kept growing. I love verse 14. Again, he says, I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. I like that more and more, which means that I'm going to keep growing. I'm not going to be content to just say, well, I've learned about everything I need to learn. No, my friends, there's much land to be possessed. If you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years of age today, I want to say, keep reading, keep growing, keep learning, keep drawing closer to the Lord. Pray that he would help you to grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord. And then finally this morning, he kept focusing on the next generation. Verse 15, my mouth shall show forth, that's future tense, shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. Lord, you've been so good to me, I can't even calculate it. I want to show it forth. I want to tell about it. Look at verse 18. When I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength. Lord, I've got something to teach. I've got something to tell people. Verse 24. My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. He says, Lord, I want to teach the generation to come thy power and thy strength. You know, many elderly folks live in the past. They're constantly thinking about what I've had and what I've lost, and they're just not happy about the life that they've lived. They're living in the past. And the present is largely just a cause for complaint. And they're afraid of the future. David was not like that. David said, Lord, I want to keep telling people what good things, great things you've done. He said, as long as there's life, there's work to be done. May I say, if you're growing older, dear friends, it's vitally important that you remain contemporary. Stay in circulation. Don't ever reach the point that you quit living. The antidote to feelings of uselessness is to tell other people what God has done, like David says in this, until I've shown thy strength to this generation. May I say that older folks have a special opportunity to influence the younger crowd. It's amazing how there's just a special bond, it seems, between elderly folks and the youth. You young people don't overlook those that are older in years, and you older folks don't forget to talk to them about what the Lord has taught you, how he's taken care of you. Be kind to them. Listen to their little stories. Take some time to try to direct them in the right way. David kept trusting. He kept praying. He kept praising. He kept growing. He kept ministering to the next generation, thinking of the future. You say, oh, the church is about gone, preacher. Well, then get busy working so that it'll be here when you're gone. Think of the next generation, because you could pass on to them what great things the Lord's taught you. I would add one more thing. David lived one day at a time. Throughout this 71st Psalm, verse 8, verse 15, verse 24, he says, Lord, I'm going to do this all the day, all the day, all the day long. And that tells me that he lived not in the years ahead or weeks ahead, but he lived one day at a time. If you're an elderly person, you say, oh, Brother Mike, one day I'm going to die. I'd remind you again of that great theologian Linus. But until then, we won't. Until then, let's keep living. And here's a promise to help you finish strong, dear friends, so that you too can be a wonder unto many, even in your older years, in your twilight years. People look at you and say, he's different, she's different. Here's a promise to help you finish strong. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. God says, even to your old age, I am he. Even to hoar hairs, that's white hair, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Can you claim that promise as your own this morning, dear friends, that God who made you and created you has promised to carry you all the way to the end and deliver you finally, at last, across that narrow river into his glorious presence, even to your old age, God says, I am your helper. My beloved, with such a promise as that, you and I too can finish the home stretch strong, hit the tape running, and hear those wonderful words from our Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant.